This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, and I'm really happy to be here with you today. I have a very special guest. His name is Tony Lewis L. Burton III, talking about how you can achieve the goals you have for yourself. Tony has worked in the education arena for 25 plus years. He started as a math teacher, then moved up to administrator, was a child care center owner operator. It's called My Little Genius, LLC, and he is a life coach consultant under T.L. Burton and Associates. He's also author of a brand new book, Rethinking Big. Welcome to the show, Tony. How are you doing today?
Thank you. I'm doing wonderful, wonderful. It's a great day in North Carolina.
Oh, it's a great day in Southern California. I can't argue with you. So tell us a little bit, Tony, about how you came to do what you're currently doing.
Well, I grew up watching my mom help children and help other people. My mom worked in the local school system. We all walked to school. And my mom worked in a cafeteria, and my mom's belief was that every child should always eat and every child should always have what they need as far as their basic needs. And so I modeled my life after her and watching what she has done, and that has led me over the years to start doing volunteer work. That volunteer work converted to me working with education.
Fantastic. You know, I love that story because my mom also was one who helped everyone. She was known in the neighborhood as if you wanted something, you called Julia, right? So those are just such beautiful memories and such a wonderful way to grow up, Tony.
Yes, it is. It has been amazing. My mom passed in 2010, but she set the foundation for all of our lives.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So you talked a lot about setting your goals regarding your career and meeting them. Tell us a little bit about how it felt to do that through the years.
That's been an amazing ride. When I first started out, I didn't quite understand setting goals and accomplishing things just like any other young adult. Things just happened by happenstance. And then I realized that I could start controlling those things once I set a goal and that I developed a plan. And if I worked that plan, then I could get to what it is that I needed to do. And a perfect example of that early in my life was I knew I couldn't afford to go to college. I knew my family could not afford for us to go to college. And so I had to figure out how I could get there. And so my way of getting there was athletics. I was not the smartest child in the classroom. I was not the best athlete on the football field. But I knew I had some opportunities because of my size that would grant me some opportunities to get into school. And I took advantage of that. I tried to hone my skills. I ended up getting a partial scholarship in my senior year to go to University of Tennessee Martin, and then ended up winning a full scholarship so that I could move on. And all that was with planning and setting goals and then working that plan and not letting that plan work me.
Well, I love that because you were so young, even though you say initially you weren't that great at goal setting, you still set that goal while you were still in high school because that's when you have to do it so that you could attend college, university.
Correct.
I think that's fantastic. That's amazing. Very amazing. So if you were to say to somebody, if you talk to somebody about setting goals, what do you think is the most important thing when you set your goals?
Well, for me, I think the most important thing is making it realistic. First of all, deciding what it is that you want to do, making sure that you know, one of the things my mom also instilled in, and I said my mom, but both my parents instilled in us, is that we can dream. And that's one of the things I don't see in society now. You know, when I was growing up, it was dream. You can do anything you wanted to do if you set your mind to it, dream about it, and then set your mind to getting it done. Well, that resonated with me, and that resonates with what it is that I do now, even when I coach business leaders or when I do individual coaching. I say, what is it that you want to do? Let's make it realistic first. Let's look at what you want to do. Let's come up with a plan for what it is that you want to do. And then you have to work that plan every day. It's not one of those things that you can work today and take off tomorrow and come back to it the day after that. You actually mm-hmm. have to work that plan. Otherwise, the plan's going to work you, and you're not going to retrieve that goal as fast as you can. So my first thing I tell folks, let's make it realistic. What is it that you really want to do here in, you know, if we're setting up a three-year plan, so what is it you want to do? This is your three-year plan, but what are you going to do today to get to your three-year plan? What are you going to do in the next 60 to 90 days?
I love that. And I love making it real and also making it attainable, because if we set our goals too high and we never, ever reach them, you know, then we get too discouraged.
Correct.
That's a really wonderful way to do it, Tony.
Correct.
Awesome. So you've had not only an amazing journey in your career life, but you've had an amazing journey of going from weighing 650 pounds to currently about 225, I think. What would you like to share about this journey? Because this is, to me, one of the most amazing things I've ever heard someone do.
Well, you know, you'll see this in my book also, I wasn't always 650 pounds. I got there.
Right.
And so there was a process to get there. When I was in high school, I was probably about 350 pounds. And
mm-hmm.
then I continued to, like I said, play football. And I gained weight and I worked out. And by the time that I came out of college, this is when I started realizing that I was starting to really pick up weight, because I wasn't doing all the activities that I was doing in college so that I could maintain that weight and keep it in a healthy fashion. So,
right.
you know, as we all do after we graduate from college, we settle into our life and start living that thing called life. And at that point, I was continually with the same habits that I had when I was in college. And
mm-hmm.
I wasn't doing the exercise that came along with that, so I picked up that weight. So
mm-hmm.
I got up to that point of 650 pounds, and I was struggling, literally struggling. Struggling to walk, struggling to play, struggling to do anything with my children. I was getting an epidural so that I could walk and maintain. I mean, I could walk 3 or 4 minutes, and then I'd have to stop and pace myself and sit down and take a break. And so I got to this point. I'm going, how did I get here? I had to ask
mm-hmm.
myself that question. How did you get here? And then I started playing back in my mind the things that were happening over the course of time, and I realized I did this to me. No one did it to me. I did
mm-hmm.
it to myself. And the only way for it to change was I had to make a decision to change. I had to figure out what it was that was necessary. And, you know, so a lot of people said to me when they talked to me, well, why didn't you just go on and a diet? And I was like, yeah, I did that. I did a whole lot of diets. Every diet that was out there, I did. And nothing
right.
was wrong with them. I lost weight on them. I did
mm-hmm.
great with them. The problem was when the diet was over, I go back to the same habits.
Right.
And so what I found was I had to change my lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
I had to change things so that I wouldn't end up back in the position that I was in prior to. So I ended up getting gastric bypass surgery aggressively. But
okay.
at the same time, my mental side said, you've got to do something or you're going to get all of this weight back.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to change my habits and realize what habits I was doing that was causing me to continue to pick up this weight. Like I said, I was doing dieting. I'd lose a couple hundred pounds, and then I'd gain it all back and a little bit more. And so I realized that that wasn't positive for me.
Mm-hmm.
So the lifestyle change is what made the big difference to me. And so I made those adjustments. I looked at what it is that I needed to do, and I wrote a plan, literally. I wrote a plan. I'm not going to do this. I'm not eating after 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not eating these type of junk foods. I'm not doing this. You know, and I had to stick to that. And I had to make it realistic at the same time, because I love to cook. Anybody
mm-hmm.
that knows me, I love to cook and I love to eat. Even
right.
today at 225 pounds, I love to cook. I just can't eat it because I've told myself I can't eat everything. I taste everything I cook, but I can't eat it all by myself anymore.
Right. I mean, yeah, I love the way you're talking. You're just so authentic, because you're like, I love to cook and I love to eat. Who does it? You know, most people do love to.
That does not change. Look, that has not changed for me. What I found out is, let me feed somebody else.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I still cook. I just give it to someone else to eat.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that takes a lot of willpower. But also you do eat things that you love and enjoy. And just love what you say about having to change your lifestyle, because that is what happens to most every dieter. Yes, the diets do work. You do lose weight. You go back to what you call regular eating or normal eating, and then it all comes back because we're not eating the way our body needs us to eat, you know? And so I love the story. That's fantastic. So I know that your book, Rethinking Big, talks about that. I'm sure other things as well. Let's talk for a moment about what was your inspiration for your book?
Actually, my inspiration was the journey itself and what I had to go through. And hearing and listening to my mom during that process and all the things that happened, I won't tell you the whole book because I want you all as listeners to go out and get the book and read it. But there was a process. There were things that happened to me. There was a whole lot of challenges that happened within that process of just trying to have gastric bypass surgery. I mean, at the time when I did that, I was one of the biggest persons to have been done in North Carolina, in Winston-Salem. And there were challenges to doing that. You know, my doctor told me that there's a whole lot of challenge to this. And before you can do this, you've got to meet this objective. You got to meet this goal. And I love to share one little story with you about that. During the process, when I was going from the 650 to 600, because to get surgery, I had to get down to 600 pounds. And so at this point, like I said, I was getting an epidural every other week so that I could continue to walk. And someone told me about water aerobics. And so I was like, I'm young. At that time, I was young. I'm not as young now. But I'm not going to get into water aerobics. But anyway, I ended up going over to the Y and watching the water aerobics class. And the water aerobics class was mostly my seniors, and I'll say it that way. And majority of the class was females. But they were having a good time in that water, take my word for it. And so I eased my way into that class, and those ladies took me. And if I missed a day, they got upset with me because they knew what my goal was. And that's how I lost my original 50 pounds, doing water aerobics with my senior members in the Y. And so it continued from that point on. Once I got that weight off of me so that I can do that initial part of the surgery, then that got scheduled and we moved on. But like I said, it came with its own challenges. Anyone knows when you're that big, you have breathing problems, you can't lay flat on your back. I mean, the only serious health issue I had at that point was high blood pressure. And so my goal, as my doctor would say, we don't want you to get anything else. This is enough. We don't want you to get diabetes or any of the other things that could come along with being overweight. And knock on wood, to this day, I don't have that. And my blood pressure is great in comparison to what it was back then. And so I'm excited about it. But it was great just being able to go through that process with them, look at those challenges. During the process, again, I'll give you another little hint in the book. It talked about how I had to recover and the challenges of recovery. Those challenges and having to depend upon someone else to take care of you. Because I was so big and had so many limitations, I had to have a whole lot of assistance to get through that process. So we explore some of that in the book and some of those challenges and how the community of my peers and my friends helped me get through that process.
You know, I love the story about the water aerobics, and I love the part when you say they were my elders, and it couldn't have been easy for you, Tony, to say, okay, I'm going to go in a class with a bunch of my elders. They're almost all women, and here I am. But you did it because it was taking you to your goal. You know, you had a big goal.
Exactly.
Right.
And that was the exciting part of it. I didn't look at it as the fact of the people in the classroom. I looked at it as I need to do this for me. And that means I have to go through whatever I have to go through. I made the plan. I made the goal. I worked the plan. And that means I had to actually do it. I couldn't just talk about it. It wasn't going to happen by itself. There was no magical genie in the bottle that was going to snap their finger and I was going to lose that weight. I had to actually do it myself.
Yeah. You know, one thing that you said a little bit earlier that really struck me is you said, you stopped and you said, how did I get here? You know, of course, it doesn't happen in 2 months. It happens in years and years. But the next thing you said was even more important. I did it. I got myself here. That's called taking responsibility for your life. And that is so key. Because if we keep blaming everybody else for whatever is happening, we're too fat, we're too this, we can't make this work, we can't make that work because, and then we have all the excuses of the external, you can't get anywhere. So I think that's a key factor in what you did, and I think in what you're helping to teach others.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I try to point out. You know, you can't count on anything else besides the fact of what it is that you want to do. You can't let anyone talk you out of your plan. You can have people help you with your plan, but you have to decide that this is what you want to do. You're going to get all types of opinions. You're going to get all types of input, whether good, bad, or indifferent. And you can accept all of it. But in the end, you have to decide, I'm doing this for me. I'm not doing it for anyone else. There might be, you know, like a lot of people say, there's inspiration. My kids were part of my inspiration, but I was doing it so I could be around for my kids, for me.
Yeah.
You know, so those things are great, but you have to decide that you want to make that change. You have to decide that you want to work the program. You have to decide that this is where I want to be, regardless of all the other things. Because another part of this, and you'll see this in the book also, was when I was big and when I was comfortable with being big, you couldn't tell me anything. The same attitude that I have now was the attitude I had then at 600 pounds, at 550 pounds. I thought, you know, I was it. I thought I was the man. I enjoyed myself. My nickname was really funny. My nickname was Big Sexy. That was my nickname at 550 pounds because I dressed the part. I had to have my clothes made. I mean, I had to do all of those things because I was confident in me. Even at 550 pounds, I just had to make a decision that it wasn't good for my health.
Right. Absolutely.
And so I needed to make those changes for me so that I can continue to be around and be able to do the things that are necessary.
Fantastic.
But I explored that in the book, so that's something else that they can look forward to.
Okay, fantastic. We're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. And if you want to call in and talk to Tony, ask him any questions. The lines are open. You can dial 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869. You can start calling now, and we'll be right back.
Award-winning author Katherine Ramsberger draws on her 25 years as a humanitarian journalist in a timeless love story that spans cultures and speaks to the soul. When a UN worker's desire to make a difference brings unbearable choices, will she stand true to herself? Find out in 1,000 Flying Things, launching this June, which early reviewers call empowering, healing, and riveting. Discover more at KatherineBrownRamsberger.com and sign up to receive a free East Meets South e-cookbook.
Hi, I'm Elliot Robertson, spiritual growth coach. In these tough times when things are rocky with finances, we need to step into our spiritual maturity like never before. My short ebook, Preparing for the Coming Bank Closures, can help you with spiritual growth and help you to tap into a willingness to trust life. To get your free copy of this book, email me at ElliotRobertsonJoyfulReal.com. Elliot has two L's and two T's.
We're back on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, with special guest Tony Lewis L. Burton III. So let me ask you something, Tony. What is the main message that you want to bring to the public today?
That you can achieve whatever it is that you set yourself to achieve. There will be challenges, but if you create that, if you set that goal, and if you set a working plan to achieve that goal, you can get there. Don't let anybody tell you that it couldn't be done. The only thing that couldn't be done was the thing that you didn't try to do. It can be done if you set your mind to it, you work your plan, and don't let the plan work you.
I love that. That's perfect. You know, you said something earlier, just before the break, I'm doing this for me. You said to yourself, I'm doing this for me. Let's talk about that a little bit more. I think so many people, even ourselves maybe in the past, do something for someone else, you know, for the benefit of someone else. But what's the difference when we do it for ourselves?
Well, and you said it right there. You hit on it. We do it for someone else. And then when that someone else is no longer there, or that someone else changes, then we regret what we've done. So I tell all of my clients, and don't do this because of anyone else other than yourself. You can have inspirations, but
right.
Don't do it for them. Because if they change, then you feel like you failed. You have to do whatever it is that's going on for you. You have to have a reason to do it for you. It may accomplish a goal for someone else too.
Right.
But you have to want to do it for you, because that's the only way you can maintain it.
Yeah.
I can change, for instance, I can change, look, let's say I did this because my friend said, if you do this, I'm going to be your friend. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that works good for a year. Then all of a sudden, they've gone on somewhere else, and you wasted a year doing something that you really didn't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
you realize at the end that you've wasted time. You know, life happens between your birth and your death, the little dash in between. Everything happens in between that.
Yep.
So you've got to live it to your fullest potential. You have to do the things that gets you to where your purpose is. What it is that you want to achieve in your life. What do you want to have for you? I'm not saying discount anybody else, but what I'm saying is make sure that what you do, you're doing for you so that you can maintain it, so that you can continue to carry it on. Because if I do it for, let's say I did this for my mom and then my mom died, now I'm mad.
Right, right.
You have to do it for you. You can do it because your mom motivated you to do it,
mm-hmm.
but you're doing it for you. And so I tell all of my clients, all my coaching clients, the kids that I mentor, my employees, you know, don't do this thing. Don't do this because I'm telling you as your boss, you need to do it.
Right.
Do this because you see the value for your life to get it done. I'm trying to give you some guidance, but ultimately you have to do it for you and being able to achieve the goal that you want to achieve.
Very good. Thank you. So let's talk for a second about how to get a hold of you and your book.
Well, I am very easy to get a hold of. You can go to my website. The easiest website to go to is www.tlburton.com. Go to the comments page, and you can click on that, and you can send me a link. You can ask some questions, and we can schedule some time to talk. You can go, if you're interested in the book, you can go to www.rethinkingbig.org. Once you go to rethinkingbig.org, you can order the book, or you can sign up for a free session, or you can sign up for extensive sessions and answer those questions there. Or you can email me. Email me at tonyb@tlburton.com. On all of my websites is my cell phone numbers, so you can get that off of those websites. But like I said, I'm very easy to get a hold of. I do book speaks. I've been, especially here with COVID and the relaxation of COVID over the last couple of years, I've been traveling around speaking to book clubs and having some opportunities to share the information in the book. I do a lot of weight counseling. I'm in the process now of getting my nutrition certification. I've always advised people on what I have done, but I decided I'd go a step further and add a nutrition license. And so I'm finishing that up here in the next couple months. And so I'm interested in talking to anyone who wants my assistance in weight loss or anything of that nature. If you go, like I said, if you go to my website, you'll see all the different services that are out there and available. I am on Facebook. I am on Twitter. And I am on LinkedIn. You can look me up by my name.
Fantastic.
And so all those things are also available.
So it's TLBurton, BURTON.com. You can link right from here, from Blog Talk. You can also link into his Rethinking Big org and even into MyLittleGenius.com. So,
correct.
Yeah. So is there one last thing you'd like to say to a listener, Tony, something that's deeply on your heart today?
I would tell you, you know, one of the things I did at the last session I did in Florida was I talked about a poem, and the poem is called It Couldn't Be Done by Edgar Albert Guest. And so I challenged everyone in the room, and I'm going to do that today. I'm challenging everyone that's listening or will listen to the rebroadcast of this to go out and get that poem, read that poem, see what it says, and then set your goals. Once you do that, contact me and let me know how that went for you. I'm not going to tell you much about the poem besides the fact the name of the poem is It Couldn't Be Done. But how do we know whether it couldn't or couldn't be done if you didn't take the challenge? So take this challenge, go out there and look at that. Remember that life happens between your birth and your death, the little dash in between. Everything else is just like a highway. I use the example with a lot of people of the highway. And if life is a highway, there's a whole lot of off-ramps, on-ramps. There's a whole lot of changes that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Your goal is at the end of the highway. You start at the beginning. So you start at your birth and you end at your death. The question is, what did you do in between?
Mm-hmm.
So I challenge you to make sure that you use that time to the best and do the best that you can for yourself and your family. And there are going to be off-ramps. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to have to get off and regroup and then get back on the highway.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay. There's going to be times that you have to go fast, and there's going to be times that you have to go slow.
Yeah.
There's going to be times that there's accidents that you have to avoid. There's going to be times of all types of things that happen on this thing called life, life's highway. But I challenge you to continue to live it, continue to do your best, and anything that I can do to help you out with that, I'm available.
Fantastic. Very nice, Tony. I love that. I was thinking about the highway, how, but you mentioned it, how there's slowdowns, and sometimes you're stuck in a stretch, and you're just standing there.
Yep.
Right? I've been in those not too
and
many
just
times.
Sitting there.
You just sit there. Once we were going to the beach in New York, we sat there for 2 or 3 hours, just sat. And that's exactly how life is. But then you start rolling again and you keep rolling. I love that. That you keep rolling.
Yeah, that is exactly right. And hopefully you can avoid the accidents.
That's right. Well, thank you so much, Tony, for being on the show. It's been nothing but a pleasure to have you today. Thank you for listening in to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. This is a live show right now, but a replay of it will be available right after. So make sure you spread this. Spread this to people who need to hear this message. And make sure that you listen in to the next episode of Dare to Be Authentic Radio. Bye for now. Thank you.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.